You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America and 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann, the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. Thanks for joining me this morning for an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines as I delve deep into a number of important issues. Now, some of the topics I'm going to be covering this hour. First, the deep state. They continue their takedown. It's a war of information. It's a war of optics. It's a war of just repetitive, constant barraging of lies against Donald Trump. Yesterday, of course, President Donald Trump was in Phoenix, Arizona, where he gave a very rousing speech, a very patriotic speech. And, of course, that just raises the ire of the left, doesn't it? The people who hate America, the hate America crowd, that's who we are fighting against. That it's incredible. And, folks, you did not have to do this, okay? You did not have to watch CNN or MSNBC. I caught the post-speech comments by CNN and the political talking heads for you, so you didn't have to do that. I saved you that agony, and believe me, it's agony, because I will play a couple of salient clips from last night from CNN, because it's important to understand, and the opening of the show here, where I'm going to be talking about the collective deep state, about what they're attempting to do, how they're attempting to do it. Of course, then I'm going to get into an in-depth look at the who, what of the deep state, the components thereof, and why we need to pay attention to, and who we need to pay attention to. And then I'll close out the program with a report, an update on what my investigative team has been finding with respect to their infiltration of various seditious groups across America, whether it's by any means necessary, RevCom, Indivisible, I mean, any of these various groups, all as many as possible, just to let you know the tremendous peril our country is in. The results are extremely surprising. Well, disturbing is the word, not surprising, disturbing. But yes, yesterday, last evening, as we were wrapping up our show, the Hagmann Report, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Donald Trump appeared in Phoenix, Arizona, where just a throng of people had attended to listen to his comments. Now, President Trump, of course, appeared to be somewhat in campaign mode, and of course, that just sent the commentators, political and otherwise, just into this crazy, twisted narrative that he, Donald Trump, that is, needs to be taken down via the 25th Amendment. You know, it's an asymmetrical war in which we fight. It's a war of information, of course. It's a war of optics. You know, Alex Jones is correct. InfoWars, of course, is correct when he talks about this being an information war, and that's true. By the way, I'm not 100% certain, but I do believe I'll be on Alex Jones on InfoWars this coming Friday. I think 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm not sure. I have to double check with John and with Alex. But having said that, mark your calendars. InfoWars this Friday, 2 p.m. I believe. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Most of you heard, or at least know, have heard the highlights or have read about the highlights of Donald Trump's speech in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, let me play you the reaction from Don Lemon from CNN and some of the political commentators. Just brief. I'm not going to torture you with this long, drawn-out, just brief. And then we're going to analyze what's taking place here, because I think we've seen this happen before. No, we have. We have. Just not to this extent. But we are, at this point, we are fighting a cold civil war, as I've said before, and everyone needs to understand how bad this is, or how perilous this is. Not bad, how perilous this is. It's bad for America. And these are the people like Don Lemon from CNN and CNN in its totality. Their goal is to take down the Republic of the United States. By the way, it's not a democracy. And I don't get too hung up on people who throw the word democracy out there in place of republic, only because on balance, okay, look, it is a representative republic. It's not a democracy. We know that. Everyone with a brain knows that. I don't get too hung up when someone from our side happens to mention the word democracy in place of representative republic. But I get it. I get it. But nonetheless, I do want to play these clips. Go ahead. And right now, let's roll clip the Don Lemon, the one I marked the Don Lemon Unhinged after Donald Trump in Phoenix. Play that one. Folks, listen to this and listen to this is a group on CNN, Don Lemon and others on CNN talking about Donald Trump and the 25th Amendment. Again, this is the warfare that we are facing. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you, Arizona. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, what do you say to that? I'm just going to speak from the heart here. What we have witnessed was a total eclipse of the facts. Someone who came out on stage and lied directly to the American people and left things out that he said in an attempt to rewrite history, especially when it comes to Charlottesville. He's unhinged. It's embarrassing. And I don't mean for us, the media, because he went after us, but for the country. This is who we elected president of the United States. A man who is so petty that he has to go after people who he deems to be his enemy, like an imaginary friend of a six-year-old. His speech was without thought. It was without reason. It was devoid of facts. It was devoid of wisdom. There was no gravitas. There was no sanity there. He was like a child blaming a sibling on something else. He did it. I didn't do it. He certainly opened up the race wound from Charlottesville, a man clearly wounded by the rational people who are abandoning him in droves, meaning those business people, and the people in Washington now who are questioning his fitness for office and whether he is stable. A man backed into a corner, it seems, by circumstances beyond his control and beyond his understanding. That's the truth. If you watch that speech as an American, you had to be thinking, what in the world is going on? This is the person we elected as a president of the United States? This petty? This small? The person who's supposed to pull the country together? Certainly didn't happen there. Let's break it all down now.
Okay, that was the opening. I'm sorry, that was the opening of Don Lemon after CNN, after the Donald Trump wrapped up his speech. Of course, you heard the tail end of Donald Trump, and then you heard Lemon's commentary, the beginning of his commentary, and then he brings his crowd of sycophants on with him, and they further discuss this. Now, this next clip is a little bit shorter than that, but listen to the content. Listen to the intent with respect to what Lemon and his political talking heads, listen to the intent that they're pushing, the agenda that they're pushing, and consider this in the context of an information war, of information warfare, of the optic war. This, where not you, the listener to this program and other programs like this, you are not you're not being victimized by this. It is a large percentage of the American public who are. Now, before I get emails, and I get tons of emails, but before I get emails from people sending comments to me like, well, no one listens to CNN. Yes, they do. Get out of your bubble. Yes, they do. Well, no one cares what Lemon thinks. Yes, they do. And this is why this is so important. It's not And again, if you're listening to this program, you're a step, in my view, or programs like this. I'm not going to be so prideful or have hubris to believe that this program is. No. Look, if you listen to the alternative media, or the new media, independent media, not the corporate media, then you are already a step ahead. But you have to realize there are people out there who are being victimized by this propaganda and who are falling for this propaganda and who repeat this propaganda. Whether it's on social networking, we see it all the time. So you have to understand, you have to contextualize what we are seeing. We are seeing an open, seditious attack against the President of the United States. That's what we're seeing. And understand how many people are embracing this movement, this information war. All right, let's go ahead. Let's roll clip two. This is right after that where Lemon brings on his stooges. And the Navarro, oh my goodness, you know, give me the waistband. Okay, get the duct tape out. Duct tape your head. I get it. I understand it. Okay. With me, you've got to put sharp objects and weapons away. All right, I get, you know, the staff here at my studio cannot take another 45 round through the wall. It's just, you know, but listen to this in the context of the information war that we're fighting. Go ahead, roll clip two.
Hey, Maria, that, you know, it was a pipe dream that Donald Trump is not going anywhere. People are saying impeachment, he's going to be there for 4 years. But he has given oxygen to racists. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really said anything, denounced the alt-right. He talked about the KKK and whatever. He hasn't really done that. He is clearly trying to ignite a civil war in this country. Mm-hmm. He has not tamped down race. And I'm just going to say, I mean, if he was on my team in this newsroom and said those things, he would be escorted out of the building by security. Yes. And I have to, my colleague Anna Navarro says something, and I want you to respond to this, because I asked Bakari about the 25th Amendment. And she said, the only possible, and this is on Twitter, the only possible defensible explanation for Trump's disgusting, unpresidential, narcissistic behavior would be early onset dementia. Maybe. She's not the only one who's been saying, some people have been saying that for months. I mean, but listen, we don't know if that, but if he is, has he shown that he's fit for office?
No.
Especially in this moment?
Absolutely not, Don, but...
Okay, stop the tape. Stop it right there. Stop it right there. Enough. I've tortured the audience enough. All right. You see where this is headed? Is he fit for office? No, absolutely not. The 25th Amendment invocation there. Do you see where this is headed? And the fact that... If you look at the various Democratic, the political, the progressive, communist, socialist, whatever you want to call them, the forums, the conversations online, and you see how Facebook and Twitter and other social networking sites are advancing this rhetoric, you see what we're up against. Now, you heard Don Lemon. You heard a little bit from one of his ideological sycophants there as well. I don't have to parse, and I'm not going to parse what they said. Just take this in its larger context and understand where this is headed. What I will do, however, is I'm going to make reference to a book that I've got close to 2,000 books now in my personal library. And this is a book that was written in 2009 by Brian Jennings. It was published in 2009. It's called Censorship, The Threat to Silence Talk Radio. And I came across it again the other day, and I thought, 2009. Interesting. That's 8 years ago. Probably, you know, nearly a decade from when it was written. I wonder, you know, what's changed. But let me pull something out of this, because I think it's important for people to understand, at least understand the fight, the us versus them mentality, and what we're up against here, as we see the as we see events unfold before us, events that we never, at least I never thought, I would see in my lifetime. This is incredible. But I want to just kind of cite from this book. Again, the book is called Censorship, The Threat to Silence, Talk Radio. The New Fairness Doctrine Exposed. This is by Brian Jennings. There was a foreword by Sean Hannity, again, written in 2009. But at the very beginning of the book, there was the author referenced a situation that involved a talk radio host, Lars Larson. Now, I don't know how many people know Lars Larson or have heard Lars Larson or what they think of him. It really doesn't matter. But there is something that happened back a number of years ago. As a matter of fact, let me pull it up right now here. Let me grab this book and tell you about this. Because this is relative to what you just heard and the fight that we're in the larger sense. It was back in the early days of talk radio. I don't know. This had to be at least in the 1990s. Conservative talk radio show host at that time, Lars Larson, was on KXL in Portland. And he was outgoing and available to the public. He had always lived openly, even hosting events, you know, town events for listeners in his hometown. And he grew up in a small coastal town in Oregon, where everyone knew everyone else and everyone looked out for their neighbors. You know, the kind of area. Well, Brian Jennings said that, you know, there was an innocence about how he lived. Now, think about that, right? When Lars moved to the big city of Portland, he maintained that same kind of openness. Well, it was October 23rd, 2003. Excuse me when I said it was 1990s. It was October 23rd, 2003. Everything for him changed. And the reason I'm citing this case is because this is indicative. This is an exhibit of the fight we are fighting. October 23rd, 2003. Everything for Lars Larson changed. He was hosting a listener event for his radio station. And just a few miles away from that event, at Portland's Memorial Coliseum, Michael Moore, that's right, the one and only Michael Moore, was in town to promote one of his causes. And he was exposing the evils, of course, of corporate America. And part of Moore's act was to ask his fans, the people in the audience, for the name of a local conservative he could call to harass. Kind of like, remember the comedian that did this and got in a lot of trouble. He's passed away now from a car accident. I'm trying to think of his name. I can picture him. He was a preacher and big. It doesn't matter. Anyway, there were about 8,500 people in attendance, and someone had Lars Larson's home phone number. This gentleman shouted it out to Moore on stage, and Larson's phone number immediately became common knowledge. Everyone had Lars Larson's home phone number. So Michael Moore dialed the number and held the telephone speaker up to the microphone, and Mrs. Larson's voice was heard on the recorded voicemail greeting, explaining that if the call was urgent, Lars could be reached at the cell number she provided. Life for the Larson family changed at that moment and changed dramatically. Now listen to what happened here. Listen to the series of events. And just so you know, okay, this Portland, you understand Portland, the Berkeley of the North, okay, Berkeley North, and Oregon in general. And then I know I've got a lot of listeners in Oregon, and I don't hold it against you, I don't. And of course, Lars Larson, being the kind of guy he is, he uses his radio talk show to speak up for conservatives who are in the extreme minority, especially the conservatives within the Berkeley North, as it is called. But immediately after Moore telephoned the Larson home, other harassing phone calls began. So Lars turned off his phone and the voicemail quickly filled up. And when the attackers tired of calling his house, his home phone, and his cell phone, well, what did they do? They completely, in the term now, they doxed him. Okay, doxing means to make public private information. That's what that term means for people like me out there who don't, not quite up with the vernacular of the technophiles. But okay. So they started harassing Mrs. Larson at her office, even threatening rape. So what happened? She was forced to close her office, move her business to their home. But there was yet another problem. You see, her home address, their home address had also been made public all over the city. Now, to you, and I'm sure most people listening to this understand that anonymity is virtually non-existent. But when you have a case like this take place, this is not just, you know, doxing someone. This is doxing with the intent or spreading this with the intent of harassment. Lars Larson and his wife had to move out of their family home. They had to move miles away. They changed their telephone number, other contact information. But the doxing continued. It followed him. And his personal information was made public. One day, his wife, I'm going to quote from Jennings' book here. One day when his wife called him in tears, Lars blew his stack on the air. And here's what he said. He said, "Let's make this deal. Stop threatening my wife. Come and threaten me so I can just fill you full of bullets. You come threaten me in person. You bring it on, but leave my wife out of this." Lars described the threats that brought his wife to tears, all right? And they were graphic. And I'm not going to get into it, but they said, "We're going to come and rape your wife to death. We're going to rape her until she bleeds." Mrs. Larson no longer answers the phone. Lars, of course, had become more aware of his surroundings. They had a higher security. But he said something very interesting. It seems that the only way to keep your First Amendment rights is to let people know you're willing to exercise your Second Amendment rights too. Look, here's the point I'm making. The threats, like I just outlined, those made against Lars Larson and his family, they are not uncommon to conservatives, to Christian conservatives especially. Free speech comes at a price, especially in this progressive, psychotic society in which we live. This, and about the same time, I should add this, about the same time that Lars was facing his enemies in Portland, the enemies of conservative views, that's all of us, you and I, anyone listening to this show, the national effort against us began. A former conservative, if he was at all, turned liberal, David Brock, he began that organization, Media Matters for America. Okay, the organization that says it's dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. But the tactics of Media Matters for America and other groups say otherwise. This group and others like it want to not just correct anything. They don't want to correct anything. They want to eliminate conservative Christians and conservative Christian talk radio. And they have the full support of people like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, billionaire George Soros, and the Silicon communities, Apple, for one. This is what's taking place. So in the context, the environment today, Donald Trump goes to Phoenix, gives the speech, his speech. Very patriotic, very nationalistic. That's bad. That's Nazism. So, you get Don Lemon and his lemmings on air, on CNN, saying that he's not fit for office. It's embarrassing. My goodness, look, what have we done? Look at, this country's a mess. We're dying. We can't have this. This is extending, and the intent here is to take down Donald Trump. But it's more than that. It's to take down every conservative value, everything, every Judeo-Christian value inside this once great nation. That's the objective. And they are not going to stop. The progressives, and they're not even progressives. That's not the right word, I guess. They're communists. The communists will not stop until we stop them. Now, how do we do that without violence? How do we do that in the larger chess game, the political arena? How do we accomplish this? We have to fight. We have to unite. And we have to identify the enemy, dox the enemy, use their own tactics against them. Stick together. Quit bickering with one another. Check your egos at the door. Unite and fight. Otherwise, we wither and die. It's as simple as that. Because we're fighting decades upon decades upon decades of infiltration and this indoctrination of our society. It was just yesterday where the Daily Caller reported violent Antifa protester says violence against right is not a crime. This is where we're at today. Yvette Falarca, I think that's her name, F-E-L-A-R-C-A, the Berkeley area school teacher and militant left-wing protester. She's responsible for organizing the riot at the University of California, Berkeley, back in February. Now, here she said that violence against the far right is not a crime. Now, this is a teacher. She belongs to the group titled By Any Means Necessary. Oh, and by the way, By Any Means Necessary, look around. Look to the person to your left, or look to the person to your right if you're listening to this, and ask yourself, how well do you know that person? Could it be that person is an undercover investigator? Yvette, is it possible that you had come across an undercover investigator who recorded information that really clearly outlines your seditious behavior, your violence, your plans for violence? Compliments of the Hagman Report? Just asking. Well, this Falarca, she was, again, who belongs to By Any Means Necessary, which is a communist group, is currently facing assault charges after she was caught on video assaulting, and this is the media's words, not mine, a white supremacist during a July 2016 rally in Sacramento, California. The school teacher and her compatriots engaged in violent clashes against members of the far right, Traditional Workers Party, which, okay, you got to understand these groups. You've got to understand who we're dealing with here. And these alliances are really non-alliances. They're infiltrations as opposed to alliances. But having said that, they had a permit to march in the city. And, of course, the violence between the two groups resulted in just a number of just – it was a mess. But in July, which was last month, police charged Falarca with assault by means of force likely to inflict great bodily injury, participating in a riot and inciting a riot. As reported by the Huffington Post, during her arraignment, she described her actions as a form of self-defense and therefore not a crime. And here's what she said. Standing up against fascism and the rise of Nazism and fascism in this country is not a crime. Now, where did she get that from? That's the narrative from CNN, from Don Lemon, from these political talking heads, these sick puppies. And this is what Barack Obama helped facilitate. This is, if you don't think for, and everyone should understand, Barack Obama was selected for that period of time to create, to inflict that damage. And you know what? Hillary Clinton was selected to secede him, and from there continue the final damage, the final takedown of our country. That was the agenda. And you know God had other plans, right? You know Donald Trump is in there as this speed bump, this roadblock on the road to this tyrannical oppression known as the communist takeover of this country. But listen to the words. Standing up against fascism and the rise of Nazism and fascism in this country is not a crime. She believes, as many do, as Don Lemon and CNN and other MSNBC or MSDNC, as they state that what we see taking place in Washington is not the writing of our, or is not the correction, bringing our country back to the Judeo-Christian roots we have. It's not righting a wrong. It's not creating the reinstilling the moral integrity of our country. No, it's being painted as the opposite. And that's why this is a war of optics and a war of information. I'm passionate about this. I truly believe that at this level, conservative Christians and conservative talk radio, conservative television, this is why I'm so passionate about Sean Hannity. We need to stick together and stand up and push back. Again, this is why I'm so passionate about defending people like Sean Hannity. It just irks me when I see, for example, Sean Hannity being the recipient of these alleged fallacious accusations by a nobody, by a wannabe attorney out of Michigan, in my view. And by the way, if this attorney is listening, I still have my First Amendment right of free speech, and I still have the right to speak my mind and my opinion. It is my opinion, young lady, that you're a disgrace to call yourself a conservative. But in part, it was her, and I'm not even going to name her just simply because I don't want to give her the relevance for which she strives. She's a attorney, movie reviewer, and has got a fan club with I don't know, maybe two people. But she accused Sean Hannity on my good friend Pat Campbell, KFAQ, his talk show in Tulsa, Oklahoma, of creepy behavior. And you can, I'm not going to get into it. But she also accused Sean Hannity of a number of other things. She calls him Sean Vanity and accused him of plagiarism and some other things. And the reason I bring this up is because this is the fracturing of the this is a fracture within the she's a so-called conservative. I don't believe that for a moment. I think, in my view, personally, my personal opinion, she's a self-deluded individual who believes that she's more important than what she is. But this has got to stop. This has got to stop. This infighting among the conservatives has got to stop. And she accused Hannity, Sean Hannity, of course, of improper conduct with money for his charity events and such. And I'm not exactly 100% sure of the specifics, because I'm not going to give her the time to read what she wrote. But I do know this. The reason I do know this, Sean Hannity is a man of integrity, and this is not some Sean Hannity fan club. I'm not saying that to. I'm not talking about this to elevate him. He doesn't need elevated. It's the larger context in which we find ourselves. It is this battle where people like Sean Hannity, like Lou Dobbs, like Neil Cavuto, Judge Jeanine, even to some extent Tucker Carlson. There's a war against these people, like just like I said about Lars Larson. This is what's happening here in this country. And to a lesser extent, the same with us. Look, I don't even answer the phone. I can't answer the phone when it rings. We have been forced. Our security is incredible. I mean, relative to we've had to have security here at our studio. It's no secret. The things that we're seeing take place right now. As a matter of fact, I stated the story here not too long ago. I was walking near my home when confronted by someone because I had my stepson thought it'd be funny to put up a Trump sign in our yard at my home, and frankly, it was an oversized sign, it's not that I was not in support of Trump. It's just that, you know, I just did not. You have to understand, you know, there's a level of anonymity. You want to be stealth-like behind the scenes, okay? There's a tactic there. But when I was out walking my dog, I was confronted by a very angry individual who knew where I lived and knew, based on the sign, what my political leanings were. And I've got to tell you, the rage, the internal rage that I saw, and I didn't even know this guy. It was almost as if I would have slept with his wife. I mean, the internal rage that I saw was just beyond the pale. This is what we're seeing across America. This is exactly the war in which we find ourselves. This is the cold civil war that we're fighting. And it's going to turn hot. Now, President Donald Trump talked about Charlottesville yesterday. And, of course, Don Lemon twisted that and exploited that to say, okay, he's racist. And you know, it goes on and on. The moral here, or the point I'm making with this, is the tactics of the communists that have infiltrated our country. Whether you want to acknowledge them or not, are working. And there's a very real threat against President Donald Trump, our president, duly elected. There's a very real threat against his removal by our enemies. This is the Saul Alinsky playbook, and you keep hearing about that, of course, the Saul Alinsky playbook and the goals. The goals are almost reached for America. And this is why the communists are so angry, that the goals were almost reached, and then Donald Trump interrupts those goals. Hey, we're on the way to completion here, and then Donald Trump comes in and interrupts him. And it's very interesting because I'm going to cite the eight Alinsky goals here, and then you'll understand completely what's taking place and why the left, the progressive, the communists are so upset over what's taking place. Saul Alinsky, who died in 1972, he was the author of Rules for Radicals. Now, this is a modern instruction manual for fundamentally transforming social institutions and other groups to implement the manifesto, the communist manifesto, Karl Marx's manifesto. Now, in this book, he gave this incredible, later versions have excised this from the book, but in his book, he gave an acknowledgement to the very first radical, Lucifer. Now, I'm sure people have heard this. I've got a copy of one of the first copies, original copies of Rules for Radicals. Yes, Lucifer. Now, among the people who follow Saul Alinsky, of course, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis on Alinsky, but and Obama said that Alinsky was the education that was seared into my brain. He said that at the Iowa Citizens Action Network. It was the best education I ever had, he said. Better than anything I got at Harvard Law School, I'm sure. And as I mentioned, Hillary Clinton, she did her 75-page senior thesis at Wellesley College as a tribute to Saul Alinsky. And his premise was very simple. Americans will never accept violent revolution. Well, at least not yet. Okay, there you go, in the 70s, right? Therefore, the radical must trade in his beard, his ponytail, and pot for a three-piece suit and infiltrate the system as a wolf in sheep's clothing. As a mole in hiding, his true intentions behind the curtain of social justice and peace. Where are we hearing these words now? This is the playbook. Alinsky delineated 8 specific levels of control that must be seized in order to create a socialist state. Number 1 is health care. Control it and you control the people. Why do you think Pelosi and why do you think the establishment Republicans were so gaga over health care, are so tremendously concerned over health care? Why do you think there's such pushback? You see, Donald Trump wants to undo what the health control over health care has done. And the status, the deep state people cannot have that. Healthcare, you control it and you control the people. Poverty. Poor people are easy to control if they depend upon government to provide their livelihood. What are we seeing today? I don't have to go into that any further. Debt. See, you increase the national debt, this according to Alinsky, to an unsustainable level, which justifies increasing taxes and more government control over individuals. What's our debt at? $18 trillion? And much of it done under Bush and certainly Obama. Why do you think the businessman in Donald Trump is being fought so hard by the deep state? And of course, gun control. Restrict the capability of citizens to defend themselves against government incursion, of course. And gun control, you know it. You're listening to this. It's not about hunting. It's about having the same weaponry to take down a rogue government if necessary. The 5th Alinsky goal, welfare. Control every aspect of life, food, income, housing. You control life itself. And, of course, religion. We're seeing this in a big way today. God is a rally point for opponents of socialism. Therefore, renounce him and destroy him. I'm talking about God, the God of the Bible. 7 is education. Control schools, universities, the media, pop culture, as well as the internet. If Alinsky was alive today, he would be talking very strongly about the internet, controlling that. And you control politics. This is what we're seeing take place, as well as class warfare, divide and conquer by creating discontent. So these are the goals of Alinsky. You've heard Alinsky before. The 8 goals. And anything, lying, cheating, anything is permissible to advance the cause, to win over the country, to wrest it from the Judeo-Christian ethics and our upbringing. A revolutionary organizer must shake up the prevailing pattern of people's lives. They must agitate, create disenchantment, discontent with the current value systems to produce, if not a passion for change, at least a passive, affirmative, non-challenging climate. People must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, that they're willing to let go of the past and change the future. People who refuse to be converted will be demonized. They'll be punished. They'll be neutralized, ridiculed, and destroyed. These are the words of Alinsky. A society becomes ripe for takeover once they give up and drop out. That's what we're seeing today. That's why you look at the usual suspects, de Blasio, New York, the control over the businesses and people, and it's oppressive. New York City, the use of these pronouns, the various pronouns, or you can face fines. You know, it's this whole thing is just ridiculous. And then you've got the Cloward Piven strategy. But looking at the deep state, looking at the principles of the deep state, George Soros, for example, people talk about him. he's a puppeteer. He sits on his throne with strings attached to almost every country on earth. How do he make his money? By taking down other currencies. He helped engineer coups in Slovakia, Croatia, Georgia, Yugoslavia. He has targeted the United States for regime change, meaning that he's after Donald Trump, of course. And Obama is a player in the U.S. shadow government with the strings, the Alinsky strings are attached to Obama's arms. Remember when Obama came in, fundamentally transformed America. But what he didn't say was to transform it into a second-rate socialist state in one world government by destroying the conservative movement and its leaders, by neutering the U.S. Constitution, by completely erasing Judeo-Christian values and morality, establishing government-controlled and government-funded new organizations to propagandize the population. Go back and listen to what Don Lemon said. Are we not seeing this? Is CNN not a propaganda arm of Alinsky, of the Alinsky agenda, of Obama, of Hillary Clinton? Do you think Obama has gone away? Obama has not gone away. Obama is sitting in the shadows, waiting for his time to lead again. Hillary Clinton, as old and crusty and dusty as she is in the wings, waiting for her time to lead again. You think, well, that's just stupid. She's not going to lead anything. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what they think. It matters what they believe. When you look at Soros, the propaganda machine, his propaganda machine, consists of some 30 major news organizations that reach more than 300 million people around the globe. Look, you don't think that has an effect? You think, well, I don't care what CNN says. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters how this is affecting the population. Because you're smarter, and congratulations, you are smarter, more intelligent than the average person out there, you have to understand, people are swayed by this. It doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. It matters what they believe. We had Charles Sasser on yesterday on the Hagmann Report. What a great guest. He wrote a book, Crushing the Collective. And it's available at WND Superstore. Just use promo code Hagmann. But it's amazing. He gets into talking about Soros and his propaganda machine, where it does talk about the news organizations. Top journalists in the United States are attracted to his various media enterprises. Cash from various foundations is funneled into Columbia University School of Journalism, which is the nation's primary journalism school. There's a 14-member journalist advisory board of Soros, ProPolitico, which attacks oil and gas companies, private schools, the healthcare industry, the private healthcare industry, that is, banks, the U.S. military. And people like Don Lemon, I'm not saying he is, but people like him are on the board. In fact, CNN's David Gergen was on the board, as well as New York Times executive director Jill Abramson. We're fighting an information warfare. These watchdog groups, Media Matters, founded by David Brock, which, with funds supported by Soros, launches character assassination attacks against conservative media figures, as I mentioned, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, Bill O'Reilly. It has partnered with the Obama White House previously in an ongoing campaign to smear and destroy Fox News. This is why it's so important. And you're not going to hear Fox News say this necessarily, or anyone else say this, and especially the independent media. You're not going to hear this anywhere else within the independent media. Why, Doug, why Fox News? Why are you doing this? Why are you so hell-bent to save Fox News? No, it's not saving Fox News. It's getting everyone to understand what is happening here. And once this goes, it is a new ball game, because I'm going to tell you, everyone with an independent voice on the internet, they are coming for you next. If they're not already coming for you, they're coming for us. They're coming for InfoWars. They've struck at InfoWars. They've struck at us. Trust me when I tell you. In order to get this information out, in order for you to understand how the nature of this fight, they've got to silence us, but we have to tell you the nature of the fight. I mean, I'm trying to tell you what's going on here behind the scenes. When this is the modern day equivalent of the Fairness Doctrine. That was, remember that? They can't have the Fairness Doctrine. So, okay, we're going to asymmetrically and from numerous sides, we're going to attack the mainstream media. We are under attack. Folks, I just wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you everything that goes on in order to give you 5 hours of broadcasting. I'm not talking about the research. I'm not talking about the guest scheduling. I'm talking about the threats, personal and professional. I'm talking about the demonetization, not just via YouTube and all, not just what you can see, but the tactics that are being used to rob us of income, both actual and potential, so we can continue our fight. When I announced, for example, that we had investigators that were infiltrating groups, that's when the heat really got turned up. And I'll tell you this, the attacks against us are relentless, and they're by so-called conservatives, and some are by so-called Christians, and they're the worst. They're the worst of the worst. But we're in a battle. We expect that. I don't want to get too far afield here. You see that the target is the Republic of the United States. The target is your freedoms. The target is our way of life. The target is our children, the future of our children, the future of our grandchildren, and future generations. The players, everyone from Bill Ayers to Barack and Michelle Obama to Valerie Jarrett to, from the grave, Saul Alinsky, nearly from the grave, George Soros, groups like Media Matters for America and Correct the Record and Right Wing Watch, perhaps my favorite, the most imbecilic group of individuals, in my view, ever to exist, Cass Sunstein, Wade Rathke, who, like Bill Ayers and Bernie Dean Dorn, was a member of SDS. These are these ponytail anarchists. Rahm Emanuel. Hey, how's Chicago doing? Rahm Emanuel, he's famous for that. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. It's an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. That's Rahm Emanuel. Peter Dreyer, former member of Acorn, Huffington Post columnist. John Kerry, who replaced Clinton as Secretary of State. John Podesta, Skippy, previously Chief of Staff for Clinton. Podesta moved back into the White House as an Obama strategist, founder of the Soros-funded Center for American Progress. He wrote the foreword for a report titled "The Power of the President, Recommendations to Advance Progressive Change." The manual, how to circumvent our legislative system and ruled by fiat. And famous and infamous for other things, right, Skippy? Van Jones. Chuck Hagel, Ahmed Youssef, Carl Browner, Mark Rudd, Drummond Pike, Elena Kagan. Kagan, the U.S. Supreme Court nominee, Supreme Court justice. One of her most notable comments, this by Charles Sasser in his book, Crushing the Collective. One of her most notable comments illustrates the direction toward the toward which the United States is moving. Government can restrict speech if it believes that speech can cause harm, either directly or by inciting others to do harm. You see that statement? Government can restrict speech if it believes. If it believes that speech can cause harm, either directly or by inciting others to do harm. What do you think they are using to silence the independent media? This, I just gave you some names. Now, that was from Charles Sasser's book, Crushing the Collective, available at WND Superstore. Use promo code Hagman. But you see what's taking place with this information warfare. You see how this landscape is changing. This is why we must press forward, press on. Now, an update very quickly about my investigative team, our investigative team in the field, looking at these various groups, infiltrating these various groups that are marching against the president. We've got, right now, we've got six active investigators, five full, I'm going to say pretty much full-time, six in total, in four different states right now that are in, and also moving around as well. Infiltrating these groups that are preparing to launch or are launching these wars against the conservatives, against the president, the Antifa style, everything Antifa related. And what we're finding is this. There is a growing, and this is, I'm just going to give you kind of a status report here, battle status report. There is a growing collective organizational pattern or organizational structure that exists on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook in particular, and various groups off of various offshoots within Facebook. They're using Twitter as well as Facebook, but for example, if they need people at a certain city at a certain time, these leaders, and some of whom are connected with this Obama organization, Organizing for America, OFA, taking the orders from this hierarchy within this Organizing for America. Some are getting their marching orders from there. Others are getting their marching orders from groups like Indivisible and such. But what's taking place is they're using, of course, Twitter and Facebook as a means of communication to rally people immediately. They're using other organizations as well to rally people immediately to locations in order to create violence. So what we saw in Charlottesville, by the way, Charlottesville, according to everything that the investigative team has come up with, Charlottesville was planned. The violence in Charlottesville happened because there was a stand down order given by the chief of police at the behest of the deputy mayor and the mayor, in conjunction with a larger directive by the governor, McAuliffe. As difficult as that might be to believe, and we are looking at perhaps, and this is something that we believe, based on our investigation, that the violence in Charlottesville could have been prevented. The deaths could have been prevented, but was facilitated by the mayor, deputy mayor, Obama, strings to Obama, strings to Soros. Folks, Hagman Report tonight at 7, Joe and John, 2 to 3. God bless you. Until tomorrow.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.